Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Oh, what a beautiful Tuesday morning, and I just want to again thank the Almighty for giving me the strength and the energy to be able to be awoke and alive this morning to be able to share this powerful message with you. Today's show, we will be going over a classic book called Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, and we'll be covering the sixth step toward riches. But before getting into that, you know, I just want to just take a few minutes to share, you know, with you about the beauty of life and you know, that don't take it for granted. You know, we're up this morning, and whether you're rolling over in bed listening to this show, or whether you're on your way on the highways and byways of America, on your way to work, or you're just moving about around the house listening to this show, or, you know, however you are, you know, partaking this information in, or you're sitting down behind the desk and got your pencil and paper out ready to take notes and all of that, just take a moment and reflect and just think about you're here. You got another day. So whatever didn't go right yesterday, or whatever did go right yesterday, you have another day. All you can do about yesterday is reflect on the past. One of my great mentors used to always tell me all the time, Father A.J. McKnight, who's down in Haiti now, working down in Haiti, and he's up in his 80s and still on the go. He used to always say, deal with the here and now. You're here right now, deal with it. The past is the past, and the future will only be what you, based on what you do right now, right here. What decisions you make today will impact on what's going to happen for you tomorrow. But you can't do nothing about tomorrow till tomorrow gets here, so you got to deal with today. And then he used to hit me with this heavy one. And, you know, one of these shows, I'll have a chance to go in a little bit more depth into this. But he used to hit me with this, everyone. He says, tomorrow never comes because it's always really today. Tomorrow never comes because it's always really today. Because you can only live each day as you experience each day, because you're not promised tomorrow. And that's a deep philosophical twist there. And, you know, we'll get into that another time, but I want to thank you for listening in, and we're going to get into the book a second here, and what I want to do is bring up a little bit of our theme song called It's My Time to just sort of set the tone, because we're going to go into this book, Think and Grow Rich. And, you know, I remember when I first got hold of this book years ago, and then, you know, I began to share it with people, and, you know, people used to try to tell me, you're crazy, you can't think and grow rich. Everything begins with a thought. See, if you think you can't, you're right. If you think you can, you're right. See, because whatever you think, that's what you're going to do. If you think you can't grow and become rich, then no, you won't. But if you think you can, yes, you can. So it all starts with, like, with this theme song that we have here called It's My Time. Let's listen to a little bit of that, and then I'm going to get into the book.
Up.
Time. That's right. If it ain't your time, then I don't know whose time it is, but it's definitely my time. And we get to focus like that, you know, each and every day. You know, hey, God's given us another day to make it our time. Okay, let's get into the book. I said we're going to go into the chapter called Organized Planning, The Crystallization of Desire into Action, the Sixth Step Toward Riches. Okay, part of this philosophy of Napoleon Hill, he goes over, he says, is that everything that humans create or acquires begins in the form of desire. That desire is taken on this first lap of its journey from the abstract to the concrete into the workshop of the imagination, where plans for its transition are created and organized. Everything starts off as a desire, and then through the workshop of your imagination, you begin to conceive of plans, or how you're going to organize your desire and make it happen. Well, one of the things that Napoleon Hill also talks about, he says, you know, he gives people six practical steps as they first move into translating desire into action. And one of those steps is the formation of a definite practical plan or plans through which this transformation may be made. Now, you know, in order for your plans to work, he goes over some things that we need to talk about here in terms of organized planning. But, you know, he has six steps. I won't go into all six steps right now, but one of the steps is coming up with definite practical plans. In other words, you have this desire for what it is that you want to achieve, that what you want to bring into reality. And then you need to be able to have practical plans to make it work. Always remember this. One of the things that I teach youth in my youth entrepreneur program is that everything that we see is built three times. And what do I mean, everything we see is built three times? Okay. First, it's built in your mind. You see it in your mind. Everything that we see out here is built three times. First, someone saw it in their mind. Then they build it on paper. After you see it in your mind, then you construct it on paper. You build it on paper. And then third, you build it into physical, material reality. Buildings that we see, it was first envisioned in somebody's mind. Then they drew out a blueprint, and then they made it a physical reality. The same with a business. You see it in your mind. Then you have something that's called a business plan. You put it down on paper, and then you bring it into material existence. So remember that everything is built three times. It starts with a desire. There's a plan. And in that plan, you see it in your mind. You construct it on paper, and then you make it manifest into this physical world, into reality. And let's see what he talks about in terms of how to make your plans, instruction on how to build your plans, which will be practical. First, he says, allow yourself with a group as many people as you need for the creation and carrying out of your plan or plans for the accumulation of money, making use of the mastermind principle. Okay, making use of the mastermind principle. What does he mean by the mastermind principle? Is that you basically, you get a group of people together who you share your desire, your dream with, who can buy into it and become part of your mastermind group. Mastermind groups mean you're going to feed off of each other. Today, you can sell them on this dream. You can sell them on this desire, and they decide that they want to be a part of it. Before forming your mastermind group, decide what advantages and benefits you may offer the individual members of your group in return for their cooperation. No one will work indefinitely without some form of compensation. No intelligent person will either request or expect another to work without adequate compensation, although this may not always be in the form of money. Okay, so, you know, when you form this mastermind group, you know, people need to know also, what is it they're going to get in return for being a part of it? It's just like when you form a board of directors. I have a nonprofit company also besides my for-profit business. And when you form a board of directors, that board, if it's constructed right, then everyone knows, one, what they bring to the table and what they're going to be getting from the table. What is it they're going to get out of being a part of this group? And it should function like a mastermind group. You know, I've seen people that have, you know, these different organizations that have board of directors where people are always in contention. It's because the people are focusing on me and not we. You know, it's about we. And so, you know, part of doing that is that we got to focus on we. What is it that we're going to do? And what is it that, you know, that everybody gets out of it that keeps the we together? Very, very important. Your mastermind group, you got to have, you know, people got to know what they're going to get in return, and you got to, you know, what benefits and advantages that you're going to be able to offer them. And also, you know, what benefits and advantages are they going to be able to offer you in terms of being part of your mastermind group. And then what you want to do next with this group of people, you want to arrange to meet with the members of your mastermind group at least twice a week and more often if possible, until you have jointly perfected the necessary plan or plans for the accumulation of money or whatever your desire is. Look, it's like, so when you know, I remember when me and my wife, we formed our nonprofit. I mean, you know, we went through several people who, you know, did not stay a part of the group. You know, it was like, you know, we mean so much for. So, you know, we initially had told them we have to meet to, one, jointly perfect, as it says here, jointly perfect the necessary plan or plans. It just can't be on a whim. You know, some people join stuff and it's like they have this thing, you know, I've heard called the 80-20 rule, that, you know, 20% of the people do 80% of the work. Well, you know, if you're going to have an effective mastermind group, then, you know, everybody has to really hold their own and has to really have a sense of worth and coming together. A good book to read is The 1 Minute Millionaire. And in that 1 Minute Millionaire book by Mark Victor Hansen and Robert Allen, there's a story about a lady who loses her children and has to get them back. And she's got 90 days to raise $1 million. And she has to, you know, she has the help of a mentor that helps her put together a mastermind group to come up with a plan, you know, to make it happen. But, I mean, you read that story, and it's, you know, it's a story. It's a good story to read. You can really begin to understand what this whole mastermind concept is about, and, you know, getting people on that kind of plane. And the next thing is with this mastermind group is to remember this, and this is the real, real key point right here. All these points are key, but this one is definitely key. Maintain perfect harmony between yourself and every member of your mastermind group. If you fail to carry out this instruction to the letter, you may expect to meet with failure. The mastermind principle cannot obtain where perfect harmony does not prevail. So this is where integrity comes in, you know, I mean, and, you know, you have to have harmony with the people that's part of your mastermind group. You know, this is talking about in order to make these plans work. You have to have harmony in order for these principles to work with your mastermind group. If there's no harmony, if there's somebody, you know, that you don't really get along with, or you don't, you know, doesn't have integrity, you don't really like, don't invite them to be a part of your mastermind group. Remember, you're working on a plan that's going to propel your life in such a fashion, as the theme song talks about, my time, my destiny. That ain't something to play with. You know, I don't, you know, I tell people all the time, you know, hey, what I do is not for everybody, but for those that are interested and want to be a partner, let's lock arms and let's, you know, let's go at this thing. But let's be honest with one another. Let's have integrity. Let's respect one another. If we can't do that, we don't need to work together. So you got to have that harmony with your mastermind group. It's got to be, you know, the kind of harmony where you feel for each other and you respect each other and you have tremendous integrity for one another. I mean, and you know, to me, that's the essence also what makes and this is another subject, but I mean, but it's the same, you know, to me, because my wife is part of my ultimate mastermind group. That's what makes, you know, good harmony for a marriage, you know what I mean, integrity. You know, I mean, you know, people ask me all the time, you know, you've been with your wife all them years, you don't get bored? No, we, you know, because we, you know, we feed off of one another and we have respect and integrity for one another. And you know, and harmony, you know, I mean, that's, you know, hey, people, I mean, that's why me and my wife are business partners. I mean, because we able to make that work, you know, and, you know, where I'm weak, she's strong. Where she's strong, I'm weak. And, you know, we don't get the ego tripping about, you know, who should do what. And, you know, if I go too far out there, she's able to pull me back in, you know, and that's good. You know, and but, you know, that harmony with the mastermind group. And he says, keep in mind these facts. You are engaged in undertaking of major importance to you. To be sure of success, you must have plans which are faultless. In order for your plans to be faultless and no monkey wrenches are thrown in there, you got to have that harmony. Second, you must have the advantage and experience, education, ability, and imagination of other minds. This is in harmony with the methods followed by every person who has accumulated a great fortune. See, you're going to need those people that come together with you. You're going to need their education, their experience, and their imagination. That's why I love working with young people, because, you know, they're energetic. You know, adults at times we've been, you know, been beat up so much and run through the ringer that we lose our imagination. You know, and we lose stuff. I mean, you know, my 7-year-old grandson, you know, he likes to draw. And so, you know, we was working on a thing to do a yard sale, you know, getting rid of some things in terms of the house. He says, Babu, which is Kiswahili for granddaddy, says, Babu, I want to sell my art, you know, at the yard sale. I want to draw some drawings and sell them for a dollar. Is that okay? Hey, 7 years old, I don't want to stifle that imagination, you know. And, you know, he's still working on, you know, his pictures and all that. But to him, you know, hey, they're great pictures. And, you know, he can explain what they are when, you know, when people ask him, what's that? You know, and he tells them what it is, you know, and then he's like, you know, hey, sells them for a dollar. You know, coming a young entrepreneur at age 7 years old. But, I mean, his vision, you know, of, you know, we needed to raise some money for some things that we wanted to get, you know, and he knows that, you know, we have a budget and how we plan and do whatever. So his contribution to the yard sale was, hey, if he could sell some of his drawings for a dollar, that would help have some extra money for some of the things that he wanted. Great idea. His imagination, not something that we put him up to. That was his own thought. And remember this. No individual, that means including you, has sufficient experience, education, or ability and knowledge to ensure the accumulation of great fortune without the cooperation of other people. You need other people to make your dream work. People need people. We have a saying, you know, in my home based business with my team. It's the teamwork that makes the dream work. It's the teamwork that makes the dream work. What is team? Together, each achieves more. But it's the teamwork. See, it's the teamwork that makes the dream work. If the team doesn't work, then the dream doesn't work. You apply the same thing to sports. I used to coach sports. You know what I mean? Look at, you know, Jordan and the Bulls and them 6 times that they won the championship. You know, yeah, Jordan was looked upon as, you know, the icon and the, you know, the great player and all of that. But it was the teamwork. He always tried to get his team into the game. And then he'd do his thing. But without the team, it didn't work. You know, and when he went to the Washington Wizards, you know, after retirement, which he should, to me, probably should have stayed retired, but I guess he needed some more money or whatever, I don't know. You know, never could get that same kind of harmony that he had with the Bulls. So, you know, no matter how great Mike was, he didn't have that team chemistry, the harmony, the teamwork that could make the dream work. So that's very, very important. He says, you know, every plan you adopt and you endeavor to accumulate wealth should be the joint creation of yourself and other members of your mastermind group. In other words, you know, this is something that has to be that y'all all come in harmony to, you know, to work around and make happen. Now, you know, if your first plan fails, you try another. You know, he used to say, first you don't succeed, try again. What I want to do is I want to move a little further onto the chapter because time is running away here, and I want to bring Ruth up in a second here to get a couple of her comments. I want to talk about one of the things he talks about here, the major attributes of leadership. Okay, number one is unwavering courage based upon knowledge of self and one's occupation. No follower wishes to be dominated by a leader who lacks self-confidence and courage. No intelligent follower will be dominated by such a leader very long. The leader has to have one unwavering courage and has to accept the responsibility when things go wrong. The leader accepts the responsibility. In football, you hear them say, when the team loses the game, the coach takes the loss. When the team wins the game, the team won the game. Okay. You know, unwavering courage. Next is self-control. The person that cannot control him or herself can never control others. Self-control sets a mighty example for one's followers, which the more intelligent will emulate. You got to have self-control, people, in terms of leadership. You know, that's so important. A keen sense of justice. Without a sense of fairness and justice, no leader can command and retain the respect of his followers. You got to have a keen sense of justice. People got to know that you're going to do the right thing. You know, and that's one of the things I like about the integrity of the owners of the company that I'm a part of. The owner has a philosophy. If it ain't so, don't say it. And if it ain't right, don't do it. Number four, definiteness of decision. You cannot waver in your decisions. You know, when you make a decision, you got to follow and stick it through. Don't waver in your decisions. You know, nobody's going to follow someone who does not have definiteness of decision. Definiteness of plans. A successful leader must plan his work and work his plan. So, you know, you can't be working by guesswork. Six, the habit of doing more than paid for. We call it going the extra mile. Seven, a pleasing personality. Hey, nobody likes a boss. That's what people are trying to get away from on their jobs. sympathy and understanding. You gotta, you know, you gotta be able to sympathize with people and understand, you know, when they're going through something. Master of detail. Successful leader calls for master of detail to lead the position. Number 10, willingness to assume full responsibility. I already talked about that. Successful leader assumes full responsibility for mistakes and shortcomings of his followers. And number 11, cooperation. A successful leader must understand and apply the principle of cooperation, effort, and be able to induce his followers to do the same. So it's very, very important. And, you know, we'll go over these again. But those are some very important points. What I want to do, we're down to like 3 minutes left here. I want to bring up Ruth on the phone, who's been following our show, and get some comments from her this morning. And here we go. Ruth, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, Baba Jahi. I am marvelous.
Great,
wonderful,
great
show. Wonderful show. I'd like to, may I add a comment, please?
Sure, yes, you may.
I would like to say, make your maker a part of your mastermind.
That's right.
You know, the plans for our lives are destined. We're destined before we were even created. So go for it, but make your maker a part of your mastermind. And I also like to leave you with today's positive morning affirmation. And here it is. I am worthy of abundance.
Woo! That is so true. One of the things we tell people, I share with people, that abundance is my birthright.
Amen.
You know, it's, you know,
amen.
Hey, you know, it's our birthright, you know, but we get distracted along the way, you know, chasing, you know, material possessions. And, you know, one of the things that's important, it's nothing wrong with having material things, but you have to have your spiritual life in order first.
Yes.
And, you know, because you can't work for two masters.
That's right.
You know.
That's right. And
when you get your house in order, then anything that you want, God will help you find and fulfill the desires of your heart.
Everything else will be added unto you. You know, you said earlier that about doing things now. You know, we used to say we're here today, gone tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But now this time it speeds up so fast. We're here today and we're gone today. So just make your makeup a part of your mastermind, and you will have everything you ever desire.
All
have
right.
A good day.
Great. And I'll be sending you that email today, so that we're still on for you making the meeting Thursday and being able to give us a report back next Tuesday.
I'm working toward that right now. My husband's out of town, but let's see what happens, and I'll be in contact with you.
Okay, I'll be shooting you an email just to remind you that, and if you're able to do that, then next Tuesday you can share on the show to people, you know, from a third party objective point of view, or someone who's not involved, you know, what you thought about the presentation.
I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. Hey, you have a blessed day, and thanks for joining in. And on Thursday, we'll be finishing up this chapter on organized planning, and we'll be going over some of the other parts of the book that talks about major causes and failures of leadership, and just how to apply for a position and some of the other things that he covers in organized planning. And again, you have a wonderful day, and thank you for tuning in with us.
Thank you so much for your positive presence.
You're welcome. All right, people. Hey, we come down to the end of another show. We thank those who are listening live, and we thank those that are listening to this in the archives. And join us again this Thursday, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, and we will be going through other parts of Think and Grow Rich. Peace and blessings.